I'm the general director emeritus, and I looked up the word emeritus, and it means used to be. So it literally means nothing, okay? I think it was last night that Pastor Kenny said, tomorrow night we're going to have some international dress and so forth, and he said, I'm going to come as a black American. And I thought, well, that'll be unique, you know. So when I came in tonight, I told Brother Dr. Lubow, and I said, tonight I am dressed as an old white man, okay? So that's what I am, okay? Every year I think this, but I've often said it publicly, that when they pronounce me dead, don't let them bury me until the choir from Crossroads Baptist Church sings, okay? And if I don't get up then, I'm dead, okay? But my heart is filled with gratitude just for the opportunity to be here, okay? I heard Brother or Dr. Kenny preach last night, and I thought, great day. After hearing that, I don't even want to call myself a preacher, okay? I mean, that was absolutely phenomenal. So I've tried drinking his lemonade. That didn't help. I've tried doing different things, but it's just such a blessing to be here and to hear the singing and to meet you and fellowship with you. So thank you, dear folks, for your faithfulness to the cause of Christ. And thank you for letting me come. And I do want to really thank Brother Rob Redland. He called me some time ago. I think you called me. Did you call me? Yeah. And he said, hey, Brother Sisk, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, well, what are you doing the 15th through the 18th of May? He said, well, not necessarily anything. I said, all right, come drive me to Washington, D.C. then. And he came, okay. I was just sort of kidding, you know, but, you know, he said, oh, I'd be glad to do that. That'd be a lot of fun. So we've had a good time together, and God has used him in a wonderful way in different places, and he's right now between some things and so forth, but he'll be used of God wherever God puts him. Brother Lopez has a tremendous presentation. I like that when your wife was looking for a good man to go to Mexico with, and you said, babe, you don't have to look anymore. I'm your man, okay? That's spiritual, brother. Okay, many times we talk about churches, and we say, our church is a soul-winning church. And that could be said about Crossroads Baptist Church. But this week, we're thinking about the subject of how can I personally make a difference? You remember the passage in Jude, and some having compassion. If we're going to make a difference, there has to be that compassion. So Crossroads Baptist Church is a wonderful soul-winning church. But what about me individually? Yeah. Am I a soul winner? And by the way, that's not just for a few people.
That's right.
I've had people say to me, well, Brother says, soul winning is not my spiritual gift. And every time I hear that, I say, you're right. It's not a gift. It's a command.
Amen.
But you shall be witnesses of me. In other words, we're all to be bringing people to Jesus. Crossroads Baptist Church is a giving church. And my, it is.
Amen.
But what about me?
Yeah.
Individually, am I a giver? Crossroads Baptist Church is a praying church. And tonight, we're thinking about making a difference through my prayers. Making a difference through my prayers. So open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I'll begin reading with verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. I'm sorry that I'd probably make a mess if I tried to stand tonight, okay? But in my heart, I'm standing for the reading of God's word. So the writer of Hebrews saying, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed under the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Thank God for the great high priest. Amen. You think about it. He is seated at the right hand of God, making intercessions for us. Then it tells us what kind of a high priest he was. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. And thank God for that last little phrase. Yet without sin.
Amen.
He was tried just like we are, but he had absolutely no sin whatsoever. And it says in verse 15 that we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what I'm going through at any time. Jesus has been through that. He can empathize with us. He can sympathize with us. He can have compassion with us. He knows what we're going through. And he talks about our infirmities. If we're not careful, we'll let certain things keep us from doing what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Then in verse 16, he says this. For let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Dear Lord, we are a needy people tonight. We live in a nation that we need you, dear Lord. Other than you, we cannot stand. We need you, dear Lord. You've told us to come boldly to your throne of grace. And I pray tonight as we think about this matter of making a difference through our prayers, that you will encourage our hearts. Help us to be obedient to you, dear Lord. And help us to relish the idea that we, as born-again children of God, have access at any moment to the sovereign God of the universe. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to avail ourselves of that great opportunity. I pray you'll bless the service tonight. You've been so good to us. We've enjoyed everything so far. And I pray you'll bless your word tonight as I try to preach in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Think of the encouragement that the writer of the book of Hebrews, and I guess even today we've not figured out exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews, but it sounds to me like the Apostle Paul. I may be wrong, but I don't think I am, okay? But think about this. He says, let us come boldly. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Is this a needy hour or not? 7.7 billion people on the face of the earth. Conservatively speaking, 2/3 of them have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel message. Many of them could utter the words that were uttered by the man from the Republic of Congo when Brother Caleb was trying to console him and told him that Jesus loved him, Jesus wanted to help him. And he uttered the words, Nani Yeshu. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Very plainly, God has commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature. And every group of people that call themselves a church has a responsibility to be involved in world evangelization. And if we're going to do this rightly, then we must have the power of God. And that comes only through prayer. I was going through my prayer list this morning, and I have it on my iPad. That's convenient, amen. I have my sermons on my iPad, but I'm scared to death to mess up, okay? I have a friend, John Collier. He always uses his iPad in preaching. And not too long ago, there at Parkview Baptist Church in Waco, Texas, John was using his iPad preaching, and he mentioned God somewhere, and Siri came on and said, "I'm sorry, you don't have God in your contacts." I mean, and everybody there. But it is convenient to have your prayer list on your iPad, your iPhone, and so forth. Because, you know, when you're on an airplane, when you're waiting, and so forth, at different times, and we wait so much, you just take it out. But the thing that encouraged me particularly this morning was looking at so many things that I had prayed about. And God had answered. There's nothing quite like asking something specifically and seeing God answer your prayer. One of the greatest was my dad. I had never seen him in church one time in all my life, except at a funeral one time. And when I got saved as a 16-year-old boy, I began to pray for my dad. And when he was 57 years old, our church had had a 2 weeks cottage prayer meeting before the revival began. Every night for 2 weeks, except Wednesday night and Sunday night, there were four or five houses that would have prayer meetings in those houses. And I went to every one of those. And I remember saying, "My dad is 57 years old. He's lost and on his way to hell. Please pray for him." But by the time of the second week, I was so burdened for my dad that I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. All I could think of was, my dad is lost and on his way to hell. And on Monday morning, as I went to work at King's Foundry in Griffith, Indiana, I stopped by my dad's place and my mom's place, and I knew Mom was coming to church that night. We'd already decided she'd come. And I said to him, I said, "Papa, we got a preacher from Kentucky that's coming for our revival meeting. I think you'd like to meet him. I think you'd like to hear him. I sure wish you'd come to church with us some night." And he looked at me. And even though I'd been praying all those 2 weeks and was so burdened, he said, "I was just talking to your mom about that yesterday and said, if you'll come pick us up tonight, we'll go to church with you." And I prayed all day, "Dear God, don't let him change his mind. Amen." And sure enough, I picked him up that night. Before we left the place, I said to Virginia, let's pray that God won't let him change his mind, that he'll give that. And we got there, and well, we had a prayer meeting that night. And I said to the fellas, "My dad's here tonight. Please pray for him." And they prayed, and we prayed. And Brother Johnny Robinson that night preached a wonderful gospel message. And it's a good thing he preached a good gospel message. If he would have got up and pussyfooted around, I would have shot him, amen. But he preached the gospel very plain. And at the end of the service, I just put my arm around my dad and I said, "Papa, I've been praying for you a long time. I'd sure like to see you get saved." He said, "I want to get saved." And he got saved that night. And 3 weeks later, I knew he was really saved. I mean, he drank all of his life. He cursed. He did all the things sinners do, okay? But from the time he got saved, I never heard him utter another curse word. I never heard it. You never took another drink of liquor of any kind, beer or whiskey. About 3 weeks after he'd been saved, we were driving down Colfax Avenue. There was a tavern there on Colfax Avenue, and the name of the tavern was the Stumble Inn. If they didn't stumble in, they usually stumbled out, okay? But we looked over there, and my brother's car was sitting over there. And my dad's tears came in his eye. And he said to me, "Son, I don't know why in the world Bo won't spend so much time in a place like that." And I thought, thank God he's saved. Can't even remember what he was 3 weeks ago. Very similar thing happened with my brother getting saved. In fact, all my brothers and sisters, 8 of them, none of them were saved when I got saved, but all of them got saved. God answers prayer.
Yes, he does.
By the way, there ain't nobody too hard for the Lord. And don't ever give up. Don't ever quit praying for your loved ones. Hudson Taylor, in his book Spiritual Secrets, made this statement. We must learn to move people to God through prayer. Think about that. We must learn to move people toward God through prayer. By the way, he moved a lot of people toward God. If you've never read the book Spiritual Leadership, or The Secret is, what's the name of the book?
Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret.
Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. That's the reason I brought you along, Rob. get the book and read it. I've thought all the prayers that have been answered. I thought about the time, Dr. Vaughn, when we was trying to buy that property, you know. And I went out and looked at a piece of property right in front of Harrison Bay State Park. And at BIMI, we were meeting in our building was a 10,000 square foot building. That was all that we had. It was on just one city lot there in Chattanooga. And I remember Dr. Frank Rosser and Brother Cliff Huskin, myself, going out and looking at that property, 80 acres of property, 40,000 square foot building. It had everything you could dream about a mission organization needing. And we walked around that building. We couldn't get in the building, but we looked in the windows and so forth. And I thought, this is exactly what we need. And I remember Frank and Cliff and myself getting down on our knees at the end of the building. And I remember saying that day, "Dear God, humanly speaking, there's no way we could get this building. But you do hear and answer prayer." To make a long story short, we bought that property, 80 acres, for $815,000. 40,000 square foot building. And every time I drive through there, we built a house on there about 10 years ago. And every time I drive into that property, I just say, "Thank you, dear God. You gave it to us." God gave me the very plan of how we could get that building. The answers to prayer. By the way, we should never think of prayer as a duty or a responsibility. But we should think of prayer as a wonderful opportunity.
Amen.
To be in the presence of and speak to the sovereign God of the universe.
Amen.
Have you talked to him today? You have a prayer list of people you're praying for? You have some specific things that God's laid on your heart that you're praying for? Could I urge you? It doesn't matter who you are tonight. You may be a child. You may be an elderly person. Sometimes older people say, "Well, I can't get out. I can't walk very well," and so forth. Thank God you can pray, amen. And prayer should not be the last resort. It should be the first thing we do. There's a verse in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says this, "For you are a chosen generation." I like that. We've been chosen of God. You are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. Listen to that word. You are a royal priesthood. You know what that means? You're part of the family. You are a royal priesthood. Now, what does that mean? Years ago in at Southwide Baptist Fellowship, we heard some wonderful things, but we heard some of the dumbest things I've ever heard, too. Okay? And I remember a preacher wanting to let everybody know how important he was. And he said, "Even my wife or children have to make an appointment to see me." And I sat there and thought that night, you are dumb. Huh? I mean, hey, if my wife wanted to talk to me, it didn't matter what I was doing. And by the way, it's the same thing with my children. It's even more true with my grandchildren. And now it's even more true with my great-grandchildren, amen? I mean, if they want to talk to Papa, there is the opening at any minute. And by the way, if you want to talk to God, the door is open. The opportunity is there. You'll never get a busy signal. They'll never put you on hold. I mean, God is there to listen to you. You're a royal priesthood. That's a great responsibility to be a priest. You take people to God and talk to God about people. So how am I doing in that job as a royal priest? In Matthew chapters 5 and 6, Sermon on the Mount, listen to Matthew chapter 6. "And when thou prayest, but thou when thou prayest," verse 7, "but when you pray," think about it. Jesus is saying, when you pray, and then he tells them what to do and so on and so forth. But what I want to emphasize is this. He didn't say, if you pray. No. He is speaking to believers. He's teaching his disciples. And he didn't say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. When you pray. So let's think about that thought for just a minute tonight. When you pray. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus is just saying, if you're a believer, then you do pray. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, if you're going to be praying, you're probably not going to be fainting. And if you're not praying, you're probably going to faint, okay? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So think about the subject. When you pray. When you pray. And as believers, every one of us should. We should never, never miss a day talking to our Lord. When you pray, know to whom you are praying. You are praying to a sovereign God of the universe. Listen to God. He speaks in Psalms 81. "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." You know what he was saying? And by the way, in the Old Testament, when he wanted to show what he could do, He would time after time talk about bringing the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage. And think about it. He brought 2.5 million people out of the Egyptian bondage through the Red Sea on dry land, and the Pharaoh and his army following after was drowned in that. And he said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And then he said, open thy mouth wide. Wow. And I will fill it. You know what he's saying? Hey, you can't ask too much of me. You cannot ask too much of me. He said in Jeremiah 33:3. I'm the Lord thy God. Ask of me. Try me. Ask of me. Know to whom you are praying. Look at the word Acts. Write down the word Acts if you have a pencil and paper. And I like this little acronym. So simple. When you pray, remember to whom you are praying. You're praying to a sovereign, omnipotent God. I think about, if we're not careful, we'll just jump into the thing and we'll begin to tell God all that we need and everything and so forth. But I like the little acronym, ACTS, for praying. And here it is. It's very simple. You've heard it, no doubt. Acts. Number one, adoration. I mean, when you come in the presence of God, it's sort of a good thing just to tell him how great he is. Huh? And you can come up with something new every day. You never run out of good things to say about God. Adoration. Take time to be holy. Amen. Speak oft with the Lord. And just begin by telling him how great he is. So that's the A. And then the C is confession. Just might be something you've done that you need to confess. Amen. And by the way, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So take a few minutes and get anything between you and God out of the way. Confession, confession. You know, some of the young people today, they're coming up with some of the dumbest things I've heard in my whole life. A young preacher. And he's getting ready to go out and start a church. And he said, I don't need to confess sin because all of my sins have already been forgiven. And in reality, that they were. Positionally, all of our sins have been forgiven. Okay? And I said to him that day, you know, 1 John was written to Christians. And 1 John says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You do need to confess your sins. Whether you like it or not, you've got some. Amen. And then there's the word thanksgiving. Stop and thank God for what he's already done for you. I mean, you know, it's amazing when you think of all that God has done for him. And then there's the word supplication. Supplication. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now listen to the next statement. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. We ought to pray about everything. Nothing is too small to pray about. And thank God, nothing is too large to pray about. Let's take a minute tonight and look at a prayer that you know real well. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And the reason I like to read this is, I know God answered his prayer. Okay? And right in the middle of all these genealogies, we get something we can understand. Okay? And look at verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called him his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, that'd be a bad name to go through with all your life. How you doing, sorry? Okay. They call the roll at school. Sorry? Okay, I'm here. Okay. And so that's a bad thing. Anyway, but look what verse 10 says. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Wow. Jabez called on the God of Israel. By the way, we need to pray for others. And we'll talk about some of those things in a minute. But we need to pray for ourselves. Jabez prayed for himself. I want you to notice what he prayed. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. He prayed for prosperity. Huh? Well, he said, we shouldn't pray for that. Not if we're just going to consume it upon our own lust. But if we're going to use it for the glory of God, it'd be a good thing. Pray for prosperity. Nothing wrong with it, amen. There's no disgrace to be poor. It's just unhandy, amen. But there's no disgrace to being rich either, amen. And so Jabez prayed for prosperity. Hey, wouldn't it be great if several of you people would become millionaires? And you could give half of it to the world evangelization every year and so forth. That'd be a great thing, amen. So it's not bad to pray for prosperity. And then he said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me and bless me indeed. In other words, don't do just a little bit of it. Do a whole lot of it, amen. And then he said, and enlarge my coast. He prayed for posterity. Dear God, open up some opportunities for me to make an impact for you. Amen. Huh? That'd be a good prayer for everybody. Yes. Pray. Put some people in my life that I can impact. I remember pastoring in Kentucky. First time I pastored the Silent Run Baptist Church and the Johnson Island Baptist Church at the same time. One of them had church on first and third Sunday. The other had church on second and fourth Sunday. Fifth Sunday, we didn't go to church, okay? Oh, we did. I'm kidding about that. But everywhere I'd go in that rural area there in Kentucky, everybody was saved, went to church someplace. And then I went to Providence and pastored a full-time church there. And 3,000 people and probably 15 churches, just about everybody in Providence said they're saved, whether they were or not, I don't know. But I remember praying many times, dear God, would you put me somewhere where they need a preacher? Would you let me go somewhere where there's a need? And God sent me to Chicago. That's a pretty big thing, amen. Then God sent me to Japan, where there's 118 million people. Dear God, put me somewhere so I can make an impact for you. That'd be a good prayer for all of us to pray, wouldn't it? And then he said, enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me. Give me the opportunities, Lord. Help me to be in a place where I can make an impact for you. But I know I cannot do it by myself. I need your hand to be with me. I love John 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Think about it. Jesus said, I'm the vine. You're the branch. And the only way you can bear any fruit is to abide in me. I mean, the vine, the branch without the vine has no power whatsoever. And then the last part of that verse says, for without me you can do nothing. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we learned tonight that we are totally dependent upon God? Amen. And then he had one more thing that he prayed about. Keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. Lord, don't let me mess up. Don't let me be a bad testimony. And by the way, when the devil tempts you to do something and you know you shouldn't do it, but it looks like it'd be so much fun, rather than thinking about what I'm going to miss if I don't do this, I'd like for you to stop and think about what I'm going to miss if I do this. We hear about men falling all the time to the sin of adultery and so forth. And I think, well, what it does, destroys the faith of a mate. It's a bad testimony to the community. It's a bad testimony to the church. We all ought to pray, dear God, keep me from evil. And I like what it says, and God granted. God answered his prayer. Pray for yourself, okay? Pray for your leaders in the church. It'd be awfully easy to take somebody like Dr. Kenny Baldwin for granted. Well, he's going to be a great preacher. He's always going to, okay. He is. But could I suggest he has a big target on his back, and the devil would like to bring him down. Pray for him. Pray for his wife. Pray for his children. Pray for the staff members in your church. Pray. Pray. Oh, God. Keep them right. Keep them on the right way. Paul tells us that we ought to pray for our government leaders. I've often thought, it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican or independent or whatever, none of them have the answer, okay? But God has the answer. Every time I read Proverbs 21, I read it every month on the 21st day of the month. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he would. Wouldn't it be great if rather than just criticizing and talking about how bad everybody is, if we'd pray for them, if we did, it might change them. Pray for the leaders of our nation. Then let me close by saying this. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for your missionaries. Let me just mention a few things that'd be good to pray for your missionaries about. Number one, Pray for the entire family. The husband is called to missions. Whether women are called or not, that's a different question. You know, I am prejudiced too. Okay. I remember when we went before BIMI, the mission board, and they asked me about my call. And then they said to Virginia, Miss S, do you feel called to go to Japan? And I remember her being very honest and saying, not necessarily, but I'm Don's wife. And since he's going to Japan, I promised God I'd go anywhere he wanted me to go. But God deals with the man in a special way. I think we all agree with that. But you need to pray for the women. Pray for the children. By the way, pray for their relationship with one another. One of the major reasons for leaving the mission field is domestic problems. I never will forget one time having a candidate committee and a screening committee. And the family had evidently had some real serious problems with their wedding, with their marriage and so forth. And one of the pastors said, oh, well, when I get to mission field, they won't have that problem. I said, are you kidding? When I get to mission field, that problem will be exaggerated. So pray that they'd be, you know, that one another what they need to be. Pray for their adjustment on the mission field. It's not easy to go to Mexico, even though you look like a Mexican. Okay? And you can't speak the Spanish language, okay? There's a little difference between living in California or Washington or D.C., than it is a Republic of Congo. Pray for the adjustments. Yeah. By the way, I noticed something too. Children adapt to the mission field depending on how their parents adapt. Culture and adaptation. There's going to be some culture shock, okay? Somebody says, oh, no, it won't bother me. You're in for a shock, okay? Some of the things that they do in other countries that are so different. I remember saying to my Japanese teacher one time, Japanese do everything wrong. And she said, how long have you all been doing things like you do in America? America's a pretty young country compared to Japan. And she taught me a lesson that day, and I said, okay, we do it differently. Might not necessarily be wrong, okay, the way they do it, but they do differently, and it's kind of hard to adjust. Pray for the finances of the missionary. Sad to say, but many times when the missionaries get on the mission field, churches, for one reason or another, just drop their support. Now, if they're not going to do the work of God, and if they go wrong doctrinally, then their support ought to be dropped, okay? But if we support missionaries, we ought to do it faithfully. Pray for the finances of the missionaries. And here's a big one, okay? Pray for their relationship with the national workers. If we're not careful, we'll think we're Americans and we'll have to do all the... No. See, the ultimate goal of missions is to leave an indigenous church. A church that is self-supporting, a church that is self-governing, a church that is self-perpetuating. And if that's going to happen, then the national leaders are going to have to take the work. By the way, this might not sound like a big thing, but on special occasions, pray for the missionaries. Thanksgiving, Christmas, children have come back and they have children and you can't be there for their birth. Pray that the missionaries will be encouraged. But most of all, pray that souls will be saved. There's nothing in the world that will keep a missionary more encouraged and more willing to stay on the mission field than to see God working in their midst. Souls being saved. Lives being changed. Families being united in serving God. Listen to it. You are a royal priesthood. You, and it doesn't matter who you are, you, through your praying, can make a difference. Amen. And some having compassion make a difference. You have a praying church, but do you pray? By the way, husband and wife, pray together. Pray together. I don't think there's anything more powerful than a man and his wife praying together. Fathers, whether you like it or not, it's your job to see that your home is a praying home. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for the wonderful, wonderful privilege of knowing that we pray to a prayer hearing and prayer answering God. Thank you for the word. Call unto me, and I will show you the great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So Lord, help us when we pray. It's not a matter of if we pray, but help us when we pray that we'll recognize that we are praying to a great, great, sovereign, omnipotent God that can do anything. Thank you for the time together tonight in Jesus' name.